Right now, we are going to be talking to Richard Bell. I think I've talked to Mr. Bell before. He's a legal analyst. And he is talking about, you know, these unfounded claims of fraud and lawsuits. You know, it didn't have to happen what happened on January 6th. I think it's a lack of education on a lot of Americans who want to believe in this cult-like movement that was going on with Donald Trump. They are needed to prevent anything like what happened on the Capitol to ever happen again. There are tangible reforms we can make at the state and federal level in the next 4 years to prevent another January 6th in 2024, as my guest, Attorney Richard Bell, said. Hello, Attorney Bell. How are you today?
Oh, I'm so well, and thank you for having me back. I've been on a number of times, and I always look forward to it. We have a great conversation.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So let's just get to the nitty-gritty. First of all, as an attorney and someone that has been working on election reform, what was your initial reaction when you saw the events unfold on January 6th?
Well, obviously, as a citizen like every other American, I was horrified, but I was not shocked or surprised, because this is where it goes when you undermine the rule of law, when you tell people lies for 4 years, when you tell them it's a rigged election, you tell them to march to the Capitol. Where do you think it's going to end when these cult-like people finally get the message, do it?
Yeah. And well, what happens is what we saw and what we have learned since then. I'm willing to ask you, knowing that there were extremist groups, you know, that we as a nation did not want to address. Domestic terrorism was something that this country did not want to address. The fact that you have these individuals in your military, your law enforcement, they're sitting on judicial benches and all of that, they've never addressed it. They're like, oh, they're crazy. That couldn't possibly be happening. Do we need to deal with that issue before we can even get into the reform?
Oh, well, we have to do them simultaneously because we have to do all things at once.
Okay.
But number one, I think it was very significant. When's the last time you heard a U.S. president inauguration use the word white supremacist?
He never heard it either.
So he went right to it. So it tells me he has given the nod to the Justice Department and the FBI. This is a top priority. So that's very good, obviously.
Okay.
That's number one. So we have to work on that, and that has to be worked on day and night by law enforcement, because everything you said is true and has been true for decades. Obviously, it started to explode under President Obama because of being the first African-American president, mm-hmm. but it's gotten worse and worse, and obviously Trump gave them the green light.
All right, so you said there mm-hmm. are a number of tangible reforms we can make at a state and federal level in the next 4 years to prevent another January 6th. Let's go with number one, the popular vote wins. What does that mean?
Okay, so we all know the Electoral College controls not the popular vote. So the chances of getting two-thirds of each house and three-quarters of the states to have a constitutional amendment abolishing the Electoral College are nil. There is something called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. It's been adopted by 16 states already, mm-hmm. which would be a total of 196 out of the 270. And once you have enough states that equals 270, it means that those states have agreed that whoever wins the popular vote, they will get their electoral votes. So it's a run around the amendment. So it'll get challenged in the courts, but it's the best we have. And some brilliant people have worked on this for years, and we're not that many states away. So that would be number one, because we have to remember, and you had a guest today, it was fantastic. You had a teacher who's teaching civics, and that would be reform number one. Would you
right.
get civics back into the schools, please?
Right. Right.
She was terrific.
Yeah.
Because in civics, they would learn that the Electoral College is really the politics of race and region. That's how the whole thing got started.
Right.
Because they had to have those southern rural states that had such a large population of slaves and were not going to be voting, so they counted them literally as three-fifths of a person, and those rural states got to have power, and it hasn't been relinquished since. So that would be one of the big reforms.
You know, I was just reading this morning that there is a Georgia lawmaker that actually came out and said, can we change the election laws so that more GOP people, more GOP officials would be able to take office? That would win. I mean, she actually said that.
She literally said it. Well, I'm going to tell you where it's close to happening, but Stacey Abrams is going to stop it. In Georgia, because they saw what happened with the mail-in vote and obviously the large African-American vote that completely turned both the presidential and the two senatorial elections, the legislature is trying to roll back some of the reforms, especially on the mail-in ballots, and there'd be certain IDs and there'd be certain other restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
They're going for it because they know they can't win. They know they can't win on just a fair and free election.
Wow. So number two, evidence must be presented to object. What does that mean?
Yeah, so we all saw the vile Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz object to the results of the Pennsylvania and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all based on, all those procedures are based from an 1887 law called the Electoral Vote Count Act, which obviously needs to be amended. And one of the major amendments that law needs, because it's completely ambiguous,
mm-hmm.
is if you're going to object based on fraud, then you have to have substantiated counts of fraud with evidence to present before the House and Senate before you get to make your objection, and that has to be reviewed.
Oh,
because they just got to stand up as spineless politicians riling up these white supremacists and just say there was fraud when you had the courts say basically, I think it was 64-1,
right,
that they lost every case, and no case did they show evidence of fraud.
And of course, you had the Supreme Court justices that said, no, we're not looking at this. No, you have no evidence.
It's ridiculous. You got nothing here.
All right. This is a really good one when I think of Giuliani. Hold lawyers accountable.
Here you go. So obviously, I'm a lawyer. I'm a trial attorney. I do voting rights civil rights and personal injury. I wrote a book, Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance, so I do that as well. But when I go to court as a trial lawyer, do you think I can walk in that court and just spew what I like and the judge says, oh, okay, Mr. Bell, that's all fine and good. Let me think about it.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely never. So here's the rule. Giuliani literally was on the steps of that courthouse in Pennsylvania screaming about fraud. I literally listened to the oral argument on the radio, and when the judge said, are you alleging any fraud here? He said, no, Your Honor. So there should be an ethical rule. Number one says you cannot allege fraud in an election on a courthouse step and then go inside the courthouse and not allege it, because you've riled people up now and you've come before court as an officer of the court and you swore it wasn't true. So you can't have it both ways. And what I mean is real sanctions. He should be disbarred. It was completely unethical, but the rules are very gray. We need to make them very black and white on that.
Do you think Hawley should be disbarred and Ted Cruz?
Oh, here's the deal. I think proceedings should start immediately in New York, here in New York where I am.
Mm-hmm.
They have already referred it here to the appellate division for proceedings against Giuliani. Absolutely. Proceedings should go forward, and obviously everybody gets due process. I'm a lawyer. I'm sensitive to that.
Right.
But boy, oh boy, it doesn't look good. I wouldn't want to be them. It looks really bad.
All right, then. We're talking to Attorney Richard Bell. He's a legal analyst, and he's got about four, let's see, he's got, what is it, 5 points, and we are on number four right now. Now, this is the other points that we could have some reform to prevent unfounded fraud claims and lawsuits in the wake of an election. Canvassing boards. Disband them, you say. I'm not quite sure what canvassing boards are.
Okay, here's the deal. We all remember those idiots in Michigan from the canvassing board of Wayne County that weren't going to certify the vote from the Detroit voters. And they had three of them, two Republicans and a Democrat. And we saw on live TV that they were going to say that the votes that were counted by the election officials weren't going to be certified by them. Well, first of all, who are they? Get rid of unnecessary levels of bureaucracy like that, because the only people who should be certifying elections are either elected state officials or appointed administrators. And had they not certified it, it would have went up to the court, and the Michigan courts have already ruled on this, and they would have reversed it, but we would have gone through a whole two-week process over it.
Right.
So what do we need these things for, other than for those people to have jobs and to try to thwart democracy?
That's interesting. We have a lot of that here in
sure
Illinois.
Sure you do. Absolutely. And New York is a disaster on that. We have so much here. Our elections, we have nothing to brag about.
Okay, and avoid frivolous lawsuits. Now, how do you prevent that, because I know people like to talk about legislation, but torques. I hear conservatives talk about that all the time.
Yes, and I do tort law very much of it for a living, and that's a whole other issue we'll talk about another time, that
okay.
whole phony issue.
Right.
But here, what's frivolous? What's frivolous is when you bring over 60 lawsuits to federal and state court, and you don't have one piece of evidence, because every judge said on every case, where's the evidence, where's the fraud? They couldn't come up with it once, not before Trump judges or Obama judges or Clinton judges, nobody.
Right.
So how do you prevent this? Well, if I did that in one of my cases, I would get sanctioned. In federal court, they'd probably sanction me $10,000. They'd refer me to the bar for being unethical.
Oh.
Let's start enforcing it.
Okay. So you say all of this to say what? I'm going to give you the last word on all of this before we go and start talking about this immigration. Last word.
Absolutely.
What do you want
our last word? Sure. I know that process and legislation may not be sexy, but your callers did a great thing today. They started clamoring for reforms locally and said no one was listening to them. And you know how they get things changed? Like you said, A, get those people out of office. But B, they have to clamor for new laws and new ordinances because, you know, as Dr. King said, voting's the foundation stone for political action, because we get nothing done without what some people may think is boring, process and laws and ordinances. But you know what? It's the whole game, and the Republicans know it, and we better learn it.
All right, then. Richard Bell, he's an attorney, and he is also the author he's an author of Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance, and that came out in August of 2020. So guys can pick it up. Can they get it on Amazon?
On Amazon, absolutely. It's a click away.
All right, then. Thank you so much, Attorney Bell. It was a pleasure to talk to you again.